to a special edition of the Westlife podcast. On my show today, I have a very special guest. I have former Balmain / Sydney / West Tiger Shane Walker, a man who played 100 games for the previous Tigers venture and then another 43 for the West Tigers. So he is West Tigers number 10, one of the club legends of that early days of the West Tigers team. We had a great chat with him. And be sure, check out Shane's local business in the Shire, his building company. I've dropped the details of that into the description of this episode. It's always good to support Aussie businesses, and none better than West Tigers legends like Shane. So enjoy our chat with Shane Walker. How's the memory? The memory's still all good to go 25, 30 years back?
But yeah, it's all good, mate. It would, you know, to be honest with you, like at times, I reckon about 5 years ago, my memory was like I was worried about it.
Okay. Starting to,
you know, so I do some, I was starting to do some exercise and do little things now when I'm out top. It's actually got better.
Okay.
It's actually got a lot better.
I had Liam Ford on the show last year, and he obviously had to retire early because of concussion. And I think he's in the same boat. I think he's starting to do certain things that are helping him with that. So
yeah, and it's a good thing. I'm terrible with names, just like basic. Like, and I think a lot of blokes are, but you know, I get introduced to somebody for the first time, and they say, "Oh, yeah, g'day, this is you know, it's Bob, blah, blah, blah." I don't even listen to the person telling me their name. I just shake their hand, "How you going, mate?" And where now I do, I focus on that. And
okay.
I try and, you know, the big thing is with me, or someone told me, just try and, in that first conversation you have with them, try and mention their name 4 or 5 times. And then you'll remember their name, and you're not going to be asking, "Oh, who are they again?" and what have you.
Yep. I'm bad at that. I'm 32 and never played higher grades of rugby and rugby league.
How old are you, mate?
I'm 32, so I was born in 1988.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 1988, I was graded in 89.
Yep.
At so St. George.
It's funny, one of my questions was, because obviously going to talk about when you came across the Tigers, which was in 95, the Sydney Tigers. So that was when really I started my obsession for the team.
Oh, really?
It was in that time because I was 7 years old. What also helped was my dad worked at Parramatta Lees Club at the time. So he got free tickets. I got to go on the box a lot for the Sydney Tigers games, and my family were both big Tigers
fans. That was our home ground, yeah.
Mm. So I went to heaps of your games. In the Balmain
era. Couple
of
years.
Yep. And even in Leichhardt years later, my family... Yeah, both my grandfathers are from Balmain, so I was brainwashed.
It was a blessing I'll tell you, mate, it was a blessing that, like, when we first got signed there, myself and Darren, there was a centre and a few others got signed the first year at 95 with Wayne, and playing at the Parramatta Stadium when, I think it was, it was 97, Super League War, just after that sort of thing, we went back to Leichhardt, it was a blessing. It was like playing for Balmain. Everyone used to talk about, "Oh, you should have seen it at Leichhardt Oval." And this, when we got there, it was like, mate, it was some of the nights, and in particular, some of the night games that we had there—Friday night, Saturday night, evening games against, you know, the Broncos or whoever it may be—and we used to have us ready to rip and tear running out there. Some of the nights I'll never forget. Eh?
Yep.
It's like there was. It was a blessing going back there.
One of my questions was on that. So the first game back there, this game really stands out to me because I was only 97. I would have been 9 years old. So, but I still remember the exact place I was watching on TV. It was one of my dad's mate's place. I don't know which mate it was. I just remember the night when you played Manly for the first time.
You played for Manly or the Tigers?
So you guys played against Manly? So the first game at
Leichhardt?
Yeah,
who'd he play for? Your dad's mate.
Oh, no, sorry. No, he were at my dad's friend. I didn't even know who it was. I couldn't tell you whose house
Oh,
it was.
mate.
It was my dad's friend's house. And
Yep.
I just remember sitting in front of the TV. They were all outside having a doing whatever adults did in the mid-90s. And I was glued to the TV because you guys almost beat Manly, who were the
Yeah,
reigning
we nearly got
premiers.
him.
Yeah, and I remember Ciro making a break and running out to my dad and saying, Dad, like we're gonna beat Manly. We're gonna beat Manly." So, what do
I
you?
think we had him and Jimmy Sidaris in the end barged over, if I
Yeah.
recall, from dummy half and that one in the game. But it was a big, that was like, I can still remember, like, I think we played band. That was a massive big, it was a massive night. Junior got us all up emotionally for it as well and physically. But I think the next week, if I recall, we may have played Illawarra there as well, the second week, and
Okay.
we were terrible.
Right,
That
okay.
second week, I think it may have been the second or third week back there,
Okay.
and we were terrible. It was just that's at that time there, we were a young team. Apart from like Ciro, Dan Staines was sort of, I think he may have retired that year. Brash was his sort of last, but we were a younger side,
Yep.
was in a number of games and what have you, and it was we weren't consistent, and we sort of had. We had a pretty good forward pack, but in the back line it was constantly shuffled around,
Yep.
each week and stuff. And I think up until maybe 98, we saw, I think Shane Dunley come across, 99 sort of when Fieldsy come across, we were starting to be competitive.
Yeah, it definitely, yeah, those later years, the team, it was a very young side, and you had guys like Luke O'Donnell coming through as well.
I still remember him coming in with his school uniform on
Oh, wow.
into the sheds. Yeah, the first when he got first called up must have been 90. Was that 99? Maybe. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, it was just before the merger because he came across with the
99.
merger. Yeah.
And if I recall, his first game, we played St George Illawarra, who were on fire that year. They should have won the. They should have won the comp. Melbourne got them. Unbeatable. And we took them on down at Wynn Stadium, and I still remember Luke maybe took their forward pack on himself. He was 18.
Wow.
It was special, mate. Yeah,
Yeah, he was always a physical specimen. Like,
a freak.
yeah, just he was a he, re he was awesome in Origin, obviously, in the later years, after he left the Tigers. But we'll start back. We'll go back to 95 when you joined the Tigers. So your first game happened to be against the Roosters, which was where your old club from the.
Where I came.
Yeah, and I noticed Darren Centre, who you mentioned before, you and him were both coming off the bench. So,
Yeah, we're both off the bench. They had two fresh reserves off the bench back then. Yeah, we both come off the bench, yeah.
that's crazy to think only two people on the bench.
Yeah, it was different times, mate.
Yeah.
It
Well, what
wasn't
were the
too, it
nerves
was
like?
different. Oh, well, it was again, like I said to you, it was sort of a new, it was a new era for, the Tigers. It was Sydney Tigers.
Yep.
I remember they had like a, our jersey was different. We had a purple stripe through the middle of
Yeah,
it.
and
It
then the
was called the
socks, yep.
Sydney Tigers. We're at Parramatta, playing the Roosters, who were now coached by Phil Gould. Massive day. It was a massive day. Junior built it all up. It was for all of us. It was massive. Yeah, big day. I think we got them, I think, in the end.
Yep, I'm pretty sure. Pretty sure you did.
Yeah.
Which is good. We don't beat the Roosters very often, as West Tigers, so it's always good to get one over the Roosters.
I don't think I would beat him again, to be honest
Oh
with you,
wow,
Tigers.
it's just a hoodoo, isn't it? That club. I mean, they're always very, very strong side, but we seem to be cursed when we play against the Roosters.
Some clubs that, like I know, we're a bit of a hoodoo for the Broncos at one stage there.
Yep, well, of course, the first West Tigers game was a tie against them, and they won the comp that year.
We should, if we had have held our squad together, we would have went close that year.
In
We
2000.
we had a very, we had an intimidating forward pack, and we were led by a guy that intimidated other teams and referees in Jared McCracken.
Yep.
Like, you ran out with him, like I played a few games, different clubs, different people. You run out beside him, you felt you grew another foot.
Right, okay. Well, he was captain of the Kiwis, I believe, at that time too, wasn't he? Well, he was definitely playing for the Kiwis. Yeah,
he was a very intimidating guy. Someone like a true leader.
Yeah.
Like, you run out behind him, and you go to battle with him.
Sorry, you just cut out a little bit again. There's Shane.
Sorry, mate.
You're right.
I was just saying, like, yeah, you're running out and being led by him. You had no fear. We feared no pack when we were, like, when we had everyone available, everyone fit, you know, from our forward pack all the way through to the back line with Terry Hill,
yep.
Hopper, little Matty Sears, Joel Kane, all the way through. We got to a stage in the competition. I think we may have been second.
Yep.
And we just started losing blokes week after week. And we didn't have the depth just come together for the first time. But we would have given it a good shake
yep.
if we had been able to keep everyone together.
Yep. So I looked up the stats for this just before I called you. So we were second after round 17 that year.
And we needed to win one more game, I think, maybe, to make top eight. We never won a game again.
We ended up running tied ninth, which is very apt for West Tigers.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but... the game, so we're coming second. So this game, I hate to bring it up, but I travelled all the way. So I grew up in the Central Coast. So I used to come down from the Central Coast for games. The game at Penrith that year.
Oh, my God.
So you obviously
I still remember that.
It. Yep. I went down with my mate and my mate's uncle, who was a Panthers fan. And my mate was a Tigers fan. And we were obviously cheering for 55 minutes of that game. We were absolutely... going off our
nut. It was unbelievable. I recall, I think Penrith may have scored the first try, or maybe they led maybe 8-0 or 10-0 or something like that early, and then we just fucking come, oh, pardon the language, come home, we just played some outstanding football, and the turning point was in the second half when Craig Gower barged over from dummy half.
Yep.
And I was at marker.
Right,
at that time. I still remember that.
So whose fault was it? Who wasn't covering for you?
It was probably me and whoever else was at marker.
Okay.
And I still believe to this day that was the turning point.
Yeah.
Because if we had a held now, you know, that was, they wouldn't have had a look in. They didn't even look like scoring. We were so good. But that one, the Canberra game was another one as well in the snow.
Right, yeah, yep. Of course, I'm pretty sure it's the only rugby league game ever played in the snow. What was that like?
We should never have lost that game. And I speak to a few of the boys when we go to reunions. It's probably the most physical, as a forward,
yeah,
the most physical game that I played in. I've never played Origin. Like, I was in 99, I was close, but never played Origin. But it was the most physical game in those testing conditions, yep. And we had them. We were down, and we come back, and, you know, we just had to complete another two or three sets towards the end of the game, get to our kick, and Craig Field got charged down, and they scored, which was, I think if we had have won that, we still would have been okay, but the Penrith game, that was a big one, but the Canberra game, we should never have lost that.
Yeah. In the Penrith game, funny enough, I put myself through the highlights of that game, which are on YouTube if anyone wants to look that up and put themselves through it. The man who scored the first try when we're up 31-8 was Shane Elford, who was in the grand final winning side, funny enough.
And he scored in the corner, and I think whoever kicked goals that day, their winger, never missed. They hit about, I think he may have missed one goal, but he was hitting from the sideline.
That was, Tony, I did note that down, that was Chris Hicks.
Chris Hicks, that's him. And then Tony Pulatua was terrorising our left-hand side edge.
Yeah.
He's got going as well there. It was just like, behind goalposts after, they started coming back, it was like Groundhog Day. And it was when we spoke about everything, and it just still happened.
Yeah.
Just crazy, crazy times. But, yeah, it wasn't a good day. It wasn't good in the sheds after the game.
I bet. Yeah, I bet Piercy was...
Junior ripped the the door off the wall and just launched it.
Yeah, right.
And, like, he was usually, like, Wayne, I hold in the highest regard. Like, he changed my game. I was floundering around before I went to the Tigers. You know, I was just flapping around. I'd have a good game here and a couple of poor games. And he got me to my stage, my mental stage, to get me up every week. And he'd always been calm. I seen him like that, and I thought, well, yeah, this was... Yeah, it was a bit scary, actually, seeing him lose it.
Was Wayne a big part of coming across to the Tigers from
Massive.
Roosters?
Massive. Yep. So I, he was one of the people I looked up to as a young fella, you know, coming through, the playing rugby league and that. He was, you know, he was always, he changed the way people looked after themselves. Like, he was one of the first that was probably a full-time professional, you know, used to get himself up mentally, physically, looking after himself, nutrition, everything. Like, he sort of changed all that back in the day. And it was someone I looked up to and totally respected and still do to this day, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, he's... I saw him at the Kelly Barnes Awards, and he just turned 60 over the weekend, and he still looks...
Yeah.
He still looks so fit. He looks like...
He's a good man, mate. Yeah. And I still remember young Mitchell at the time, and I think it was the last year, maybe last year, he's at Balmain, then into the West Tigers. He was our ball boy.
Yep, I remember that.
And he used to, in the off-season, he trained with us.
Right,
when we used to do our Sunday sessions. And he'd train with us, the front rowers. He'd run with us as a young fella. And you could see he had that steely grit that his old man had.
Yeah, right.
Tough little bugger.
Yeah, Mitchell's a year younger than me. And I remember going to Leichhardt and people... pointing at him and go, oh, that's Wayne's little son over there. I still remember as a kid, and I was his age, thinking, ah, oh, I wish it, like, that's so lucky. He gets to be a ball boy, and sure enough, he ends up playing State of Origin.
And,
yeah.
He had a lot of pressure on him too, coming through, being, Wayne's son.
Yeah, maybe that, I think that's, we obviously would have loved him to be a Tiger, but I guess he wanted to
create
make his own path,
sort of path.
And a legacy, which I guess you totally understand, so.
Yeah, for sure. And he's done well now. Up in Newcastle, he's like, seems like he's one of their senior leaders up there now, which is good, and it's good to see him doing well.
Yeah, definitely. Just going back to your first year at the Tigers, so you said you've floundered around a little bit before you got to the Tigers, but you played 20 first grade games first year at the Tigers. So did it start to feel like home almost your first year?
I was starting to feel, you don't really feel comfortable until you play maybe 50 first grade games or, you know, something around that. You start to get your head around, you know, what it's about, what your role is, your preparation, and what you can add to the team, what your role is, you know, not outside of that. So, yeah, we felt part of it, and great bunch of blokes. It was 95, 96, 97, probably the best time I had in rugby league is with the blokes. We were truly really good mates, the whole group. We used to look out for each other first. So it was first reserve grade and under 20s back then as well.
Yep.
And so we didn't get too much with the under 20s, but first and reserve grade, we were tight as.
Okay.
We'll see each other now.
It's quite sad that there's no genuine... obviously, there's New South Wales Cup, but they... sometimes we're first grade, sometimes we're not. There's that little bit of a disconnect between the two.
I think that's a big thing that we missed over the years. And because my son went through the Cronulla Sharks system, and I used to, you know, go down and watch and speaking to the first graders and what have you. So we used to have one night where the whole club come together. We had a training session every now and again, with a whole club trained together, and we'd have a barbie afterwards and what have you. They don't do that anymore. Mm. Reserve grade not playing before first grade is a big thing, I think, as well.
Yeah.
You know?
I think it's a big part of people not going to games as much anymore as well.
Exactly. Mm. You know, I when I was coming through, there was your loyal fans that watch, you know, a kid come through under 20s, in through reserve grade and up through first grade. You can watch his path, coming through that path, you know, which you can't see anymore.
Yeah, it's quite sad, and it's weird that the NRL haven't... Obviously, the cost, because obviously the teams were all pretty much Sydney-based back then. I guess travelling
The trouble would be, killing him. They could have come up with something where, you know, the New South Wales, say, in Canberra, just play each other, and come and Queensland, and say if the Warriors had a team, or and they just and you come together at the end of the year or something.
Yeah.
But I think I truly do believe that that's what we miss, that pathway.
Yeah, totally. All right. Yeah, absolutely agree. So you mentioned a few names. You said it was a good bunch of blokes that you played with in that time. So obviously Ciro is a big one. What was it like playing with Ciro?
Oh, it was. Because he was someone I looked up to as well, as he like a young bloke coming through. Because I grew up in the St. George area. My family were a St. George team. My uncle played in the 71 grand final for Saints. That was massive. But the Tigers were like always a second team.
Okay.
And I always loved Ciro. And to play alongside of him, and some of the nights at Leichhardt Oval, or even the Sundays where it was packed out, and Ciro on the charge and the crowd were just roaring, it was something I never thought I'd achieve to get to that. But also, he's just such a good person away from rugby league. Down to earth, very loyal, good mate, and he's a good man away from footy. You wouldn't know he was a rugby league player. He's not one to talk it up. He's just a really good bloke.
Yep. The Tigers seem to have... Maybe I'm being totally biased and looking through black and gold eyes, but it feels like the Tigers legends, yourself included in this, are all good blokes. You look at some other teams, I don't want to name any other clubs, but they got that little bit of arrogance about them. But the Tigers, even though heartbreak seems to be our common theme, we also seem to have a common theme of good guys. So whether that's a coincidence or something that the club, both West Balmain and West Tigers, instill in the culture or something. But I could be wrong because I'm looking at it through a fan's eyes, but it just seems like we've always had good down-to-earth blokes.
Yeah, well, you're totally right. It's because it wasn't allowed. You thought you had a bit of a chip on your shoulder, well, it was knocked off pretty quick.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And we had... A classy example was young Glenn Morrison coming through. And, I still speak to Glenn now, and he'll have a laugh about it, but he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. It was the 96, 97, had a young bloke. It must have been 97. I still remember Brush and Ciro and that, you know, always... they bring him back a peg. Yeah, enjoy what you're getting. You know, you're going good, but just be very, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Don't be a big head about
be
things.
Humble, yeah.
Be humble. And he, when he left for, he signed with North Sydney Bears.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen a pack of forwards chase a certain individual as what we did that time, but you know, he's only a kid and he's grown up, and I still speak with him now, and he's done very well for himself. But yeah, it wasn't allowed. You had to stay humble. You had to work hard. If you didn't work hard and train hard, you know, you were certainly sorted out by the likes of Ciro and the boys, the older boys back then.
Yeah. Glenn Morrison was another one I looked up to. Because he's from the Central Coast as well. Entrance Tigers Junior, I think.
Yep, he was.
And went to Terrigal High, where my sister went to school, but obviously much, much younger. But he was another
very
idol
good player.
Inside. Yeah, very,
very good player. I wish he had stayed with us, because I still think he went to North Sydney. They were a very good side, that North Sydney side back then. And he went into a star-studded side. I still believe if he had stayed with us, he would have had a better career. With direct footy and what have you. But it is what it is. He had to do what he had to do. And we all still speak now, which is good. As you get older, you sort of have a laugh about certain things that you thought were important at the time, which aren't now.
Yeah. But another big name that you got to play with is Ellery Hanley. What was it when he came back? It was obviously a second stint. And he was a little bit over the hill when he came back, but what was it like playing with him?
He was the ultimate professional.
Okay.
Ellery, great bloke. So I got on really well with Ellery. Like, I spent a bit of time with him, like, away outside of footy. And very, very, what's the word for it? Charismatic. He was looked after himself. That's obviously why his career, you know, he had that long career that he did. He never did, you know, when we had our gym sessions, he never got into the, like, the heavyweight gym sessions. He just used to do his own circuit.
Wow, okay.
And stuff, like, which Junior agreed to because, you know, that's the way he did things. And at his age at that time, there's no use changing things for him and getting him into doing heavyweights because, you know, his body probably would have fell apart. And but he trained hard. Like, he was always the first one out on the oval for training. He'd just do laps, old soul.
Yeah.
And everything, looked after himself, good style of a man, very good style of a man, and he's a good mate of mine.
Oh, yeah. So do you still speak to Ellery? Is he in Australia,
we still
or is
speak.
He going back to England?
No, he's back home. He's back home, but we still speak. He comes out here now and again.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's class. That's the word for him, class.
Okay.
And, like, I still recall, I may have been in 1990... 89, 88, 90, something like that, where he was the golden boot.
Yeah.
Playing, and he was, mate, all class that bloke.
Another name that used to hear a lot as a Tigers fan growing up, which you don't hear enough or hear as much anymore, Steve Edmed, who played for the Tigers a lot. You played with him.
Steve Edmed. Yep, very much. See, because I played with that era of Tigers around. Earlier playing that, you know, from sort of 85 through to 89, 90, you know, he was in that front row with a star-studded forward pack, you know, as a young bloke. And he was 95, he left in 96. At the end of 95, he left when the Super League War was on, and he signed for really good money. Good, you know, good luck to him. He was sort of coming to the end of his career, signed good money, went to the Cowboys. But we still see each other at all the reunions.
Yep.
And that's the thing with the Tigers. And I don't know what it's like with the other clubs, but with the Tigers, at our reunions, it's like, you know, you may have gone off on another path after the Tigers, or you might have ended up at the Tigers. Everyone's treated the same.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah, he was, mate, he was fun. Playing in that forward pack. I think he was only a young fellow as well. He was like early 20s.
Yeah.
In the late 80s, and tremendous player for the Tigers.
Yeah, you've kind of done a segue perfectly for me, because I was about to ask about the Super League time as well. What was it like, probably around 95 it started?
Yeah.
Again, I was really young, so only saw it through a kid's eyes at the time, but pretty chaotic off the field with, like,
crazy
stuff going
times.
On.
Crazy times, like, so for us at Balmain, true foundation club, true loyal to the ARL, I was just starting to play regular first grade at that time.
Yeah.
And everyone's contracts doubled. Like, average players like myself coming at that time doubled overnight. And plus, we got a sign-on bonus for signing to stay with the ARL, or if you went to Super League, and it was crazy. There was blokes from North Sydney in particular. I don't know why them, but with the ARL, they were signing like reserve grade players on money that they were probably on maybe $50,000-$40,000 contracts, up to $300,000, and they signed a $100,000 bonus, and it was like ridiculous. Blokes are turning up in new cars, and it was crazy at the time.
Yeah, everyone from both sides. I know the Johns brothers talking about just how, in negotiations, they walked out of, knocked back the first offer just because they knew they could pull some strings, and Gus Gould threw another $200,000 at them each just by
unbelievable
within a few seconds. Like, it's just crazy thing. And this is the late 90s too. That's that's a lot more money than it is now. You could buy a house in Sydney back then for a few hundred grand.
Well, that's what blokes blokes that have played Origin or international rugby league, with the their sign-on bonuses, forget about what they were getting like every season, but the sign-on bonus, whether it was Super League or ARL, was probably was close to like $400,000 or $500,000. It was just a sign-on bonus, plus then you had your ongoing contract, which was guaranteed for 5 years as well. Yeah, so if you were playing like a busted-up bum, you're guaranteed that money once you find it. And if the club couldn't afford to pay it, either ARL or the Super League would pump that up for them.
Yeah, right. That's insane to think. Just like what brought that on? They were just trying to outbeat one another.
Yeah, it was all to do, I suppose, with on the Super League side of things was the TV rights.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were talking about getting our game global, and which would never happen. You know, Rugby League's only ever going to, and it will only ever, I believe, be big, like in our country, in New Zealand and in England, like massive. And then we've got, like, yeah, we've got a Papua New Guinea, but big time. They were talking about going to Asia and into the US, and it was never ever going to go into that market, but it was all to do with the TV rights.
Okay.
And it ended up being Super League. You know, they come to an agreement, and it ended up being Super League with Fox.
Yep, with Murdoch, yep.
Yeah. Which is a good thing in the end. Like, you know, blokes are able to make, you know, if you could play a year or two in first grade, you can make a decent living, you know, set yourself up and then go into normal life.
Yep. So, 97, was it, obviously, Tigers were in the ARL that year, and we came eighth, but in the top seven finals, which is the most Tigers thing ever, that we came eighth. And we missed out.
We just missed out
by 1 point to the Gold Coast.
That's right.
We had to beat the Knights in the last round, who that was, obviously, mate, went on to win the grand final.
That was an eye opener. So we'd beaten, if I recall, it was either Parramatta or North Sydney the week before at Leichhardt, and we travelled. The Knights were struggling. I think they'd lost a couple of games, and we're playing the Knights up there. Last game of the year, we win, we get in.
Yeah.
The Knights sort of had to win as well, which to wake them up, and they'd finished top four. And going back to Glenn Morrison again, you know, just being young, leading up to that game, it may have even been after the game against North Sydney that, you know, straight after the win. And Glenn was quoted as saying, "We don't fear any forward pack. We're the toughest pack in the comp." Well, the Knights forwards got hold of that and plastered it all. We didn't know, but in their sheds, and they were breathing fire when they ran out. And I remember they kicked off and Ciro took it up. I've never ever seen Ciro driven back, ever. And that happened. I've gone, wow, we're in for some heat here.
Right.
So, And we didn't even look like winning that game from that kickoff.
Right. So, obviously it must have been so devastating too to miss out on the finals by a single point.
Yeah, coming off, you know, the 95-96 seasons where we didn't look like making it at all and getting so close. And then, unfortunately, after that season, we lost Tim. Timmy Brusher went to
Cowboys.
South, and he went Cowboys. That was a massive loss. Yep. A massive loss for us because he was, and we still keep in contact. He was at my place, you know, a couple of months ago here with his family for my 50th.
Okay.
So he was like sort of the heart and soul of the club at the time then, our leader and spiritual leader. But Brash, for the younger blokes and everything, was like kept everyone together, made sure everything was good. We lost him. We sort of lost our way a bit in 98 as a club with him leaving. We had a good period that year, but if we had have kept him, we would have been on track. I reckon we would have gone close either that year or 99 for sure.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those, what could have been eras, I guess. The Tigers, it seems like a common theme is we just miss out a lot of years.
We always just miss out, which is you know, last year we had a good year. I thought this season would have been a bit different. And then, you know, looking into that round two game, when the comp got called off, it was like far out, was like the bad old days again. But we've got probably one of the best coaches, you know, that you could probably have at the time now in Maguire. Yep. I just think it's going to take us another year or two to be up there competing and people talking about us being top eight, top six, top four. We just need a couple more players, I think. I think we need a couple more up front.
Yeah.
And we need a couple of wingers. And no disrespect to the ones, but, you know, the leading wingers at the moment, the big, strong, tall athletes, and the wingers that we have now, they're, you know, they just off the mark a bit, I think.
Yeah, it'd be great to bring Addo Carr back.
Oh, he'd be, oh, yeah, he'd be tremendous.
Yeah.
Very good, very good, great player.
So, sorry, going back to the 90s again. So one of my great memories as a Balmain Tigers fan, before I was a West Tigers fan, the last game at Leichhardt in as the Balmain Tigers, 99, it was pouring down with rain.
Were you there?
I was there. My uncle and drove my cousin and I down there. It was pouring rain, drove down from the coast. he pulled over at this, he's like, oh, I don't know, guys. And we're like, no, no, it's the last game. We've got to go, we've got to go. He went into a corner store in Balmain, I think, got a roll of garbage bags, cut holes in it, and we sat on the fence on the hill using garbage bags as ponchos. It was freezing cold. I still remember just looking my, like, when your breath, you know, those cold nights at Leichhardt, when you see the breath coming.
It was freezing.
Yeah, but we beat Parramatta, which is one of the greatest things ever, and fireworks went off. You were part of that game. Do you remember that game pretty fondly?
I do. I do remember it. I remember it being so cold. I remember Leichhardt never looking like it had that I'd ever seen before. We had puddles on the ground. And I remember I tackled just before half time, right on the halfway line, there was a massive puddle there. I tackled Michael Vella from Parramatta.
Yep.
And I was laying on top of him and his face was underwater at the time, and I was like, you don't think, like, not meaning that I was going to drown him, but I just in the tackle in the moment, and I'm in his head done, it was like something you'd never see again. Same with that, like that snow game.
Yeah.
But half time when we come in, I think Darren Center maybe, and Webster the halfback, little Megsy, they had to warm them up. They'd get them in the warm showers so they didn't carry too much body fat. And down the bottom, when you come out of the sheds and you walk down the stairs at Leichhardt Oval to come out onto the ground, that whole area was up to our knees in water.
Wow. So you had to swim back on the field.
Yeah, it was crazy, mate. But it was, what a great night. What a great night. We had the great Laurie Nichols there with us in the sheds after the game.
Yeah.
One of those nights where it's, you know, things are meant. It's funny, it's hard to explain.
Yeah, it was. It was almost like a fairy tale night, wasn't it? Because Parramatta were a really good
team.
They
were on fire, mate.
They were a fantastic team.
They were on fire
team.
That year.
Yeah. You mentioned Laurie. What was it like being a Tiger with the great, late Laurie
Nichols? He's a good man. He was such a very lovely man. Very, very smart man. Everyone thought that he was, you know, a sandwich short because of the way he conducted himself on the sideline. But that was because he was passionate.
Yeah.
He was a very, very smart, educated man. When it was sheep shearing season throughout our country, regional areas, he was sought after because he was a very good fleecer, so he could pick the wool. And, you know, some of the people that he knew, and very good, very close with Johnny Lewis, the boxing trainer. And because I was living, I still live in the Shire now, but so I used to have to drive past St. George Police Boys Club at Rockdale where Costa Zoo was training.
Okay.
Johnny Lewis, and I used to drop Laurie off there a few afternoons a week.
Right,
used to pop in there the same, yeah. So, yeah, very great man, Laurie.
Because he
very
lived
good
in the
man.
Blue Mountains, I believe.
Yeah, I think he's a Blackheath, maybe. Yeah. He lived there. And he's a great man. Love the never seen anyone more passionate about the Tigers. I still remember the night when we come together as West Tigers and he coming to the sheds before we actually started pre-season training. We had a meeting, and he cried and he said, I can't follow you anymore, boys. He said, it's killed me what's happened here. We're Balmain Tigers. And you know what? I think it was a month later he passed away.
Yeah, it was. It was in that off-season. It's
very sad.
Like, it's, again, it's like a fairy tale story, a tragic fairy tale story that, as soon as the club, as Balmain ended, he passed away, yeah.
Very sad. Yeah, good man, Laurie. Great man. Very loyal Tigers man.
Yeah, yeah, you could make a movie about his life. I reckon he was just
you
that
could.
kind of
Do you know what?
character.
You probably could with his character, and people would. There's a lot of things outside of rugby league they wouldn't know about with Laurie, you know. And even that, you know, I can still remember as a young fella when the Kangaroo Tour was over in England, he was there in a singlet.
In
when
a
it was
singlet.
Freezing. It is this lunatic.
Yeah. Have you heard the story? I can't remember where I heard this about the cat on the train. Did you guys ever hear about the story where he got some that some woman was annoying with a cat on the train from the Blue Mountains into Balmain? He went up to the woman, said, "Can you kind of keep your cat under control?" And she gave him a bit of lip, and he went, "All right, rat-a-tat-tat, there goes the cat."
Oh, cat, I did hear that.
Cat,
yes,
cat straight out the window of the train.
I have heard that. Yes, yes, I have heard that. He's a funny man.
I can't remember where I heard that, but yeah, it's just
that'd be Laurie down to it, right down to it. He's never talked no shit, but I could picture him doing that. That's very funny.
So we'll go to like later in your career, 2001. So you played 24 out of the 26 games that year, but unfortunately, it was your last year as a Tiger. What made you come to the decision to go down to Melbourne?
I didn't. The club didn't want me anymore because of I had a couple of ongoing knee issues at the time. I wanted to just sign for one more. I wanted to finish off in 2002 with the club, and that was it. And part of that was, I said, like, I'd help the transition with the young blokes coming through as well. And by no means did I, you know, think I had a hold on a position at that time as well. You know, like, no one's guaranteed a position anyway, but in no means was I thinking that I was going to play every game in that season. And I said to him, you know, I'd be happy to, if I can help you nurture things through with the young blokes, but certain situations happened that year, which we all know about, the 2001. And as a senior player, and at the end of his career with an injury issue, it was easy for the club to let me go at the time, which was disappointing. But that's how things are. And I would love to have finished at the Tigers. Wasn't able to, but got to go down to Melbourne for that final year. We knew we were always going to come back home, and met some great blokes who some of my best mates got me through the Melbourne Storm.
Okay. Who did you create good bonds with down there?
So Robbie Kearns. Robbie Kearns and I are pretty very close. Matty Guyer, Scotty Hill, Danny Williams. So obviously the Storm travel, it's every second week or such. So you're away, and what they do, they pit you with, they pit you with the same guy. You room with the same guy every week. So you, and they pit me with Danny. And at the time, he had a couple of scary incidents with different people off the field, you know what I mean?
Right,
but we got on well. We got on really well, you know, like I gave him his space and treated and respected his space. And he's got where he's got to have very, very, like, tidy, neat and tidy. He's got to have everything in pairs, his clothes and everything like that. And if you go into his place, and if I walked in and I walked out with a pair of shoes of his, he'd feel uncomfortable. He knows something's missing.
Right.
So the boys always wanted to get in our room and mess his room up and stuff, which I never let him do because... Yeah. So, yeah, him, I think it's Stephen Kearney as well. So, yeah, good blokes, really good blokes. Sort of, it reminded me of back at the Tigers in 90s. The way it was pretty tight-knit.
Okay. And, yeah, they built a pretty good culture down there, obviously, over the years. It shows how much success
they've
had.
It's got bigger and bigger. Yeah, they don't put up with blokes carrying on down there at all.
It's like you said, it's good to have a coach like Madge who came out of their system as well. So
he's not going to put up with any bloke, any shortcuts, whinging, you know, complaining, that sort of thing. It's hard work. It's hard work, and he's obviously he's proven he's a great coach. So on top of that, so I think we just got to give him time. From where we were, we've just got to give him time. He's, he's walked into a club, it's not his team. You know, it's going to take a little while for him to get his team together.
Yep.
And once he does, we'll be successful. I know that we will.
So the last question is, how do you feel, obviously being a player that went across the merge, there's still a little bit of arguing between West and Balmain and some of the older sort of fans, I guess fans my age, around my age, we're kind of, I don't know, because we're kind of, were kids when it happened, maybe moved on a little bit easier, but do you feel
you
like it's been a good,
easy bit.
Yeah, do you feel like it's been a good relationship and it's getting better and better?
It's
obviously
getting better.
When the grand final helps, but.
Yeah, but I think it's getting better.
Yeah.
It's getting better. When we used to play Wests in the late 90s, we were both struggling at the time. But I tell you what, if you wanted to watch a good game, watch that game. Any game, say, from 97, 98, 99, before the merger, watch any Balmain-West game. It'd be entertaining, I'll tell you that. Yeah. There was some spite in it. And so to come together as players, you know, it was a little bit, the first meeting, you know, it was a bit, not that you didn't hate each other, but it was a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
But after that first meeting, you know, we're still like brothers now. There was with the players, Balmain and West players coming together, there was no awkwardness at all. We like, it's like, you know, any rugby league player, you know, moving to new clubs, what have you, whatever. Unless you're a bit of, pardon the language, a bit of a dickhead.
Yeah.
But you know, it was pretty smooth. You know, and we're still like Gando and the McGuinness boys, so Georgie and we're still like, obviously we're all good mates now,
good
mates. And but it was the first time together was a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
But I think we're getting better. I think things are working. You know, the Balmain side of things is disappointing in how that side's gone.
Yeah.
And we need to, as Balmain Tigers, we really need to be thankful of the West side of things.
Absolutely.
Because they've kept us together, mate. And they've kept the Balmain. They could have quite easily have, you know, knocked the Balmain out of this.
Yep.
And it's gone back to West, but they haven't. And we need to take it and be very thankful for that.
Yep, definitely. Yeah, having the likes of West Ashfield and their backing and obviously the boards, it's you shouldn't really think of it as the two anymore. I feel like it's 20 years in now. We've won a club together. We've built our own identity. Guys like Benji Marshall and Robbie Farah have made
names
for themselves.
Legends. You know, they're West Tigers boys. And the same thing, like when you hear when they release strips, you know, the playing strips each year. Oh, there's not enough, you know, Balmain, or there's not enough. We need to get over that. We're not Balmain anymore. We're not West Magpies anymore. We're West Tigers.
Yeah.
And that's who we are, and we just got to keep moving on.
Yeah, I think our black jerseys look better. I'm from, as I said, from the Balmain side. I have 30 jerseys in my cupboard. I love my
black ones. I love a black. Love all black.
It's slimming. It makes me look slimmer as well. That's why I like it. It'll be hot playing in, but I like the slimming black ones. They're my favourite ones.
Blacks, it's good. It's a daunting colour when you. If you run out against someone in all black, it's a bit not that it puts you off or anything, but it's an eye opener. You look out and it's like, looks good. It always looks sharp, I think, anyway. But,
is it hotter, though, playing in black? You obviously play in orange.
They say
and
it
black.
Is. They say it is. Whether it is or not, I don't know.
Okay. We I know played, when I wear we, black, it feels, it does feel
you
hotter.
Feel hotter.
Yeah.
We played in 2000. The first year West Tigers, we played in Townsville. Which they would never do now. We played a day game.
Ugh.
3 o'clock. It was that hot. And when we got thrown out, the black strip, all black.
Yeah.
And the first thing that Wayne said to us was, if anyone complains about or mentions the colour, you'll be off. So it was like he was trying to treat it as a mental thing.
Yeah.
But whether it does or not, I don't know. Maybe it does,
yeah. But I guess when the adrenaline's pumping, you don't really... You're not thinking about you're not being a softy like me who's walking into the stadium wearing a jersey and jeans and complaining about the heat.
I'm sure if you're playing, you're in the same mode, mate.
Yeah.
You just don't think about things like that. You know, it's just how it is. But I don't know what's gonna happen with the season this year, but I truly believe we need to give us another year or two and we're gonna be talking about us.
Yeah, it's just Madge get full control of the roster because it takes it's a couple of years for him to make all
the
decisions.
Get the players that he wants.
Yeah.
Totally agree, mate, yeah.
And, yeah, financially, Justin Pascoe and that, they've got the club in a good spot, so...
They've done a great job.
Yeah, so the club's looking strong. We need a little bit of luck, too. I feel like we're down on luck sometimes.
You need a bit of luck.
Yeah.
You need luck. In certain games, I'll still watch certain games, and it's a bounce of the ball or a call. We don't get the luck of that. And, you know, luck with injuries as well.
Yeah.
You know, that year when the West Tigers won the comp, they had luck. They'd kept the injury side of things.
Yeah.
When everyone else in that final series, the teams they were coming up against were losing players at that time. And so sometimes you create your own path, but you do need luck. I'm a firm believer, no matter how hard you work and how good you are, you need luck.
Yeah. Well, we lost our luck straight away after that because Benji Marshall did his shoulder in 2006. So
that's right.
Yeah.
We had our luck for a little period there. They gave it to us there to get the comp.
Well, it seemed like it came at all in one foul swoop in a 12-week period.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
That would have been good to have, you know how they do now where they have a camera following them? Through that back end of the season at training.
Yeah, like a documentary,
That would have been awesome, that.
Yeah, the West Tigers media team do a really good job with their video content in the last couple of seasons. It's awesome.
Yeah, I think that's where, you know, that's where it's heading. You have a look at it. And I know it's luck sometimes, but I reckon that if you can just throw something like that in, just follow the team through pre-season into the season and that, and you don't know what you're going to get, you might come across something good.
Yeah, for sure.
Mate.
Thanks heaps for your time this afternoon. It's been an absolute honour to talk to you. Is there anything you'd like to plug? You want to give your business a plug or something? If anyone...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If that'd be good. I've got a demolition business work and with a bloke. It's called MBS, Demolition and Construction. We're in the Shire. So if anyone needs any work done to any properties, demolition work, rubbish from whatever it may be, give us a call and I'll come out and meet them as well.
Cool. What's your number? What's your business number there?
I've only got my mobile, which you have. So if you want if anyone comes through and you want to give it to them, you can.
Have you got a website?
We do. I'll send it all to you, mate. Once we finish the call, if you don't mind, you can post it for us.
Yeah. I'll throw all those details in the description.
You're a good man.
If anyone,
I appreciate your time.
No, I appreciate yours. On.
It's brings back some tremendous memories. Eh? It was like, if anyone whinges about their rugby league or whatever, if you've played, they're nuts. It's the best time of my life. Met some of the best mates I've got and made me the person I am. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I think it's a good thing. It's, best time of my life. It was good. And thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.